This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show podcast.
Senator Rand Paul says he will vote for Mike Pompeo as Secretary of the State as tensions rise over Iran's nuclear program. Welcome back. 855-839-1210, #1210 on your cell. Grateful to have you with us today. Facebook.com/Zioli Show. Please like the page while you're there. You know, the Iran nuclear deal is an interesting thing. If the United States were to withdraw from the nuclear deal, the immediate consequence in all likelihood would be that Iran would continue its nuclear program. That's from Iran itself. They will continue their nuclear program. The president today had some comments to say on Iran and the nuclear deal the way it is, and particularly whether or not if Iran were to ever threaten us. It's the president from earlier today, cut number 9.
It's a bad structure. It's falling down. Should have never, ever been made. I blame Congress. I blame a lot of people for it. But it should have never been made. And we're going to see what happens on the 12th. But I will say, if Iran threatens us in any way, they will pay a price like few countries have ever paid.
Now, France, Germany, and the UK want to see the Iran deal stay as it is. And the president has made it very clear he thinks it's an awful deal. So this is going to be a big topic of conversation between Macron and Trump, obviously at the state dinner. But also Angela Merkel is apparently coming to D.C. to meet with the president soon, too. And this is something that Europe wants to see. They want to see the deal preserved. They want to see this preserved. They're fine with this. And the president is now in a position where he's got to, I think, make good on holding to the idea that the Iran deal is, it's not in our best interest. So that's going to be a big topic of the conversation today. And everybody wants to, the media is playing this little game, right? Like Macron will be the guy who can convince Trump to go his way because he's a very, very smart guy. And he's like Trump and he's charming and he's so charming and he can convince Trump. Well, we'll see. I don't particularly buy it. There's a number of other allies in the region, particularly Israel, who would find that the Iran deal is incredibly problematic. It lets them continue their nuclear program. The idea of them not developing nuclear missiles, I think, is a, you know, they'll say, oh, they'll restart the nuclear program. I don't think the nuclear program has actually gone away. But nevertheless, we will see what happens with that. The Department of Justice funds a College Masculinity Monday program to create healthier masculinities. This is what I mean in terms of the our country and where we're going with all this. I opened the show today by discussing with you Penn State, how the outing program, the outing club, is no longer allowed to go out, and the scuba club is no longer allowed to scuba. Well, now the Department of Justice has decided that they're going to have Masculinity Mondays, a program to create healthier masculinities. This is from our friends at the Red Alert Politics, the Washington Examiner. The Claremont College Consortium in California, shocking, I didn't see that coming, wrapped up a semester-long Masculinity Mondays program established to address the effects of unhealthy masculinities. I told you at the start of the show, college has become a de facto K through 16. It's just an extension of high school now. In terms of the idea that college is there to not give you an education and prepare you for life, it is now there to give you an education, be your parents, and prepare you for life by putting you in a bubble, basically. And then making sure that all of your decisions are made for you and you feel safe. You got to feel safe. You really do. You got to feel safe. Now, 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the idea was you went to college to get a degree, which would help you get a job or something of the effect. But you left home. You left the house. Right. You left the nest. You graduated high school. You got your diploma. And now you went, if you either went to get a job, you joined the service, or you went to college. And then when you got to college, you were on your own. I mean, your parents may have helped pay for it, or you may pay for it on your own, or you may have had a job to pay for it. But it was kind of the idea of, hey, look, man, you can vote. You can serve in the military. You're on your own now. Figure it out. Figure it out. Now it's completely the opposite. Now we don't let you go scuba diving because it's very dangerous in the scuba club to go scuba diving. And your masculinity is very problematic too. The program, featuring seminars on black masculinities, normative toxic masculinity, and redefined masculinities, occurred biweekly as a means to foster and create healthier masculinities within themselves, within the communities in which they exist. So now the schools, the university, with a federal government program, and I have no idea the kind of psychologists who are involved in defining this, they're going to tell us what masculinity means. Now, how much do you want to bet that masculinity does not mean men actually acting like men, you know, not being men, you know, not being John Wayne, not being, you know, Chuck Norris? This is not, that's not a man. A man has to be feeling and has to be very, very soft. And imagine if every man became James Comey after finishing the program. That's the best analogy I can give you. You start out as John Wayne, you end up as James Comey. That's the masculinity re-education camp program at the college. According to the event description of Masculinity Mondays, it's a joint project between the Empower Center, the Office of Black Student Affairs, and the 5C Student Affairs. Masculinity Mondays. Now, in the old days, Masculinity Mondays used to mean guys would get together, play cards, smoke cigars, gamble on those cards, and then probably get into a fist fight. That's the old definition of being a guy on a Monday. The new one now is discussing topics such as male privilege. Male privilege, because you get to pee standing up. And so you got to have that conversation as well. Also, masculinities as queer and trans folk. I don't know how masculinities are the trans community. Anyway, the hour-long sessions were offered on a monthly basis in fall of 2017 with seminars like Constructing Masculinity Through the Media. And wait, oh, here it is. Rape Culture and Masculinity. Ah, let's see, now we're getting to what I really thought we were going to go here. Rape culture on campuses and masculinity being the problem. Not guys who rape being the problem, masculinity being the problem. That, you see, that's now, I've never raped a woman in my life, never raped anybody, and I don't think you have. And yet all of masculinity needs to be revisited because of people who do. And in order to advance the notion that there's a rape culture on campus, you have to then redefine masculinity so that it goes away. At the same time, you have to have the Department of Justice of the United States of America get involved in order to make sure, as they go after students using Title IX as their bait to come into colleges and destroy due process and then go after young men for allegations when a woman says something to the effect of, well, I consented, but I was drunk and therefore it's rape. And the university goes, yes, it's rape. And we are now going to have a kangaroo court here and find you guilty and kick you out of school and you don't have any rights and the Constitution doesn't apply and you're gone and your life is ruined and that's it because we decide so. And as part of the Department of Justice doing that under Title IX, the Department of Justice also spends money on this kind of nonsense, healthy masculinities. And what it's really about is masculinity is the problem. And it has to be redefined. Lafayette College had a Masculinity Monday under this federal Justice Department grant, which is open to anyone who identifies as a male in one degree or another to explore all that masculinity offers and take in our culture. Yes, from fluidity to tradition, masculinity is not an open book for those who live into it. It is often a question to be answered or a puzzle to be solved. For some, it is an identity they create. For others, it feels like a constraint they live with. Indiana University of Pennsylvania, meanwhile, offered a Masculinity Mondays program in 2015 for students to share their thoughts on what it means to be masculine while discussing the stereotypes and ways they have been taught to feel masculine. All right? You realize now that men are the problem here, so you got to redefine masculinity, and that basically means you got to, come on, you're being a little too, don't be manly, in other words. Be what the left says you should be as a man, the left's definition of a man. $749,998,000 grant from the Federal Department of Justice in 2016. Office on Violence Against Women got this almost $800,000 grant, January of 2016. And again, under the guise of preventing violence against women, look, I've never hit a woman, I've never raped a woman, I've never done any of these things, but I'm a man, and so other men have. And so what has to happen is you have to basically now chop it off. I have to lose my masculinity. Does this remind you of anything? Does it remind you of our approach to, say, the Second Amendment? Somebody does something wrong, and everybody else, it has to make it harder on them to be able to get a firearm, right? Because somebody does something wrong, everybody else has to suffer. And the mindset on college campuses, of course, and the groupthink that is there, is that, well, these men are getting there. These young boys are getting there. We have to help them learn and be soft and be cuddly. James Comey, basically. They got to be able to say things like golly and gosh and gee and be queasy and feel queasy and also hide behind curtains and then come out and say things like golly gee and cry and do all these. That's what they want. That's what they want you to be like George Stephanopoulos, who also apparently cried when it turns out his little interview with James Comey didn't do as well as he thought it would. Oh, yeah, his wife can. What a man that unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos must be when his wife goes on national television and makes fun of him for crying over his ratings. That is the definition of a man right there. When his wife goes, I'm going to make fun of the little guy on national television. I'll play that audio for you a little bit later down. So this is your federal government at work. A combination of the Department of Education, the Department of Justice now, redefining masculinity as the left would like it defined. So you get college people who live in their academic bubble. And again, if you want to talk about the bubble, you better do it on an encrypted server or over alcohol because you'll get kicked off academic island. Groupthink has to prevail. And they, along with the federal government, so bureaucrats, they'll design these programs and they'll put men through re-education camp under the idea of women on campus have to feel safe. And if that means you got to lose what makes you a man, you got to act a little less manly. So be it, because she has to feel safe. And we'll spend your tax dollars to make sure that she feels safe by making sure at the same time you are less of a man. You are a lesser man. You will become like Chris Cuomo at the end of all of this is over, at the end of this Masculinity Monday program. That really is the goal. All right, 855-839-1210, pound 1210 on a cell, and Facebook.com/Zioli Show, on Twitter at Rich Zioli. We got a lot to discuss here today. What do you think should be discussed in Masculinity Monday? What topic would you like to propose in Masculinity Monday? Perhaps it would be why you should never chop firewood because wood has feelings. It's a tree or something. What topic would be good for you in a Masculinity Monday seminar if you were leading this at your college under the Federal Department of Justice grant? Would you be kind enough at 855-839-1210? Pound 1210 itself to give me a topic for Masculinity Monday because I want to go on the speaking circuit here and I think this is my topic, right? All right, straight ahead.
We're back with the Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so Masculinity Mondays. What ideas do you have for what we could discuss on Masculinity Mondays? We got this big grant from the Federal Department of Justice, and let's have some fun with it. What should we talk about? 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in the South. First thing I'd like to say is, as a man, I want to be known that we are the better cooks than women. Ooh. Men, historically, as chefs, are the better cooks. I'm just going to go on record and say that. I don't think that's what Masculinity Monday is about, though. I don't think it's about men celebrating their masculinity. I have a feeling that's not the purpose of the program. I could be wrong here.
What strikes me about this...
No, you cannot. You can act like James Comey. Guess what strikes you is what now?
What strikes me about this, first of all, if they're, I don't know, dealing with people, they could just say, what does being a man mean to you? They could just open up and have a conversation. But I hate this. This is why my boys go to private schools. They're going to go to all boys high schools.
Uh-huh.
This is the whole demonization of being male.
Yep.
And it's not just men. It's boys.
Toxic masculinity.
It's terrible.
That's the thing. Toxic masculinity. It's an actual term the left uses. Toxic masculinity. Your masculinity is a toxin. It's a poison. Like poison. I mean, literally, it's like poison. So you are, as a man, you spread your toxic masculinity through society and your male privilege and your peeing standing up privilege and all the other stuff. We got to deal with that is my point. We got to redefine it. So instead of celebrating masculinity, we need to redefine it. And the people that redefine it are in the committee. They're on the committee.
That's scary.
They don't think like we do, is my point. I don't think I'd be allowed on this committee.
No.
I would not be allowed on this committee because my opinion on things is it goes like this. Well, suck it up. I mean, that's part of being a man. You know, deal with it. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's deeper than that, though. We're telling boys and men that you are inherently bad. You are dirty. You are bad. And so that's terrible. I thought we were supposed to be enlightened. I thought we were supposed to empower all genders and all people. But all of a sudden, we have one group that we're telling you're bad all the time. It's ridiculous. And it's infuriating.
And Masculinity Monday sounds as if you're there to celebrate what it's like to be a man. Like, oh, manhood's under assault in this country, so we're going to get together on Masculinity Mondays and celebrate being a man. No. On Masculinity Mondays, we're going to get there and tell you why you, as a man, suck and why you are part of the you are the problem. You are the problem. Your masculinity is what's causing all the problems in society. So now how do we redefine masculinity? Yeah, this is where we are as a society. This is what I mean. We have lost our mind. We lost it beyond it. I sometimes think to myself that I don't know what it's going to be like in 20 years for my kids. I have no idea. I have no idea what it's going to be like. You know what I mean? But in some ways, I feel as if, are we going down the road maybe a little bit where at some point it's going to come back?
Yes,
like a
100%.
Boomerang. You think so? 100%. I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think it comes back.
Yeah, it does.
You
totally.
Do.
Yeah.
You two are both much more optimistic than I am.
Yeah. You know why? Because of parents. Because parents look at this and you love your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And right? And you love your grandkids. So why would you be for some stupid thing like this? This is so dopey.
This is what happens when you allow college to be the parents.
Yes.
This is what happens. This is why I always talk about the ideas of you don't let the outing club go outside and the scuba club go scuba-ing. It's you allow the college to take over the job of being parents. And what, for the most part in academia, they spread leftist ideology. Now, I know that there are wonderful people in academia who have to keep it a secret on the inside. You know, and you know who you are if you're listening, but they can't talk about this because it's a groupthink culture. And that's why I don't want college to be an extension of me as a dad. I'll handle it because I don't want my son going there and being told you are the problem because you have a penis. So,
right.
And that penis is a weapon that needs to be regulated like an AR-15.
Right? And they should be told, your penis is beautiful. You are a beautiful boy or you're a beautiful man. Oh, sorry.
Interesting.
Let's think about it.
Taking out a different tone here.
isolate three words for that. Plus, yeah. States.
No, why don't we use that for...
It's a medical
next
term.
Next to three. I just told you today to update the promo, did I not?
Yes.
Well, that problem's been solved for us.
No, but I'm very serious. It's every physical part and emotional part of males are being told they're bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's so wrong and so terrible in this era where we're supposed to be empowered human beings and we shouldn't even focus on gender. So why would we even have a Masculinity Monday? Why don't we have a celebration of people on Monday? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the goal.
Because the goal of the left is to divide, mm-hmm. always to divide. It goes back to what Greg Renoff told me on the campus of the University of Maryland, which forever changed my thinking when he said, "What is we always do all this celebration of diversity as opposed to what brings us together, what unites us, right? We always are separating what divides us." And he said, go read Dr. Thomas Sowell. And I did, and it changed my life, and it made me who I am today, along with many other experiences along the road. But Dr. Sowell's thinking on this, who happens to be, I believe, a white man, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Thomas Sowell.
That's not true? Not true.
Are you sure about that?
He's not white?
Definitely African-American.
Are you sure about that?
Positive.
I don't think you're right about that. So, you know, this is the point, though. It's you have to get away from this idea that the state is going to teach you how to live, because the state... in big time is always about control, which is why in the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx writes about having a free and thorough comprehensive public education, which almost every state offers, and college is going down that road. Phil Murphy's offering free. It's free,
free,
kids. Community college, free. How about that, huh?
Free.
And free college. I love it. It's free. Just take it. Take the degree. Why don't we just give out the degree instead of teaching them? Wouldn't that be easier? Save us a lot of time? All right, well, let's see now what Marianne is in Skip Pack. Marianne, you're first up. How are you today?
I'm good, and I thank you for taking my call. I'm not always in agreement, but I'm a regular listener, and I really enjoy your staff and your show.
Thank you.
I'd like to put two conversations together. Masculinity Monday and Penn State's banning of these outdoor activities. My husband and I are graduates of Penn State 30 years ago. We were members of the ROTC. We were members... I fought very hard as a woman to be a member of the Rangers Club, okay, which is, you know, you get the cadet Rangers tab, and you do all outdoor activities. So my question today when I called Penn State was, and I got referred to the College of Health and Human Development, because they're formulating the policy, was, what are you going to do about having a premier program in ROTC, and you're not going to let are you not going to let these kids out to learn orienteering, scuba? You know,
you called. I'm really so proud of you for calling Penn State. I'm glad you did that.
You know what? You were really mad at me last time I talked to you, but I have to say this. I heard what you said yesterday, and I have been boiling. And I am the mother of a son and three daughters. 30 years ago, I fought for the right, meaning in ROTC, for women to serve in infantry units and to show that they didn't have maybe always the equal physical strength, but they had the mental ability to be equal to men. Now what is happening? By the downgrading of men with this Masculinity Monday, it's downgrading women. It's saying that what you accomplish means absolutely nothing. It means that we're all a bunch of namby-pambies, and, you know, we need the college, the university, the state, the federal government to regulate what makes us people. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed.
Not just regulate, but to redefine.
Right. Redefine, exactly.
Into what the left believes people should be.
Yeah.
It's that redefinition.
And I want to tell you something. The first time I voted as an independent at Penn State, okay? So I've always listened to your program because I feel like you give two sides to every issue. This, however, makes me furious, because what are you going to say to people that have to learn outdoor skills to live? Well, we're going to practice in a gym. I'm sorry, what is a fake pool? How are you going to get a fake scuba certificate? What, you know, like, none of this makes any sense.
98 years, the outing club at Penn State went on outings. 98 years. And they never had any incidents or anything like that. Nobody was eaten by a bear. Yeah.
I'd like you to inquire how long ROTC has been there, because I'll tell you what, they never sent us away without the desire to prove that we were one of the best programs in the country. And that meant that we had the skills to survive. So I thank you for taking my call. I really listen to what you have to say. And I'm going to keep calling Penn State because I'm outraged by this. And I sent one of my children, well, she went voluntarily to a military academy. And to do this Masculinity Monday stuff, it demeans what any woman ever achieved. And I thought our goal was that we're all created equal, and we are all equal, not that we have to demean one sex or race or the other. And, you know, at that, I'll let you go, but I thank you for taking my call.
Well said, Marianne. Very good call. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 on a cell. Mark's in Springfield. Mark?
Yes, I'd like to say two little funny things. The one guy said a long time ago, if you're scared, get a dog. And secondly, a subject I could talk about is men breaking wind in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, that's not what makes a man, Mark. You know, that's not how I define manhood. I don't think gentlemen should be particularly doing that in public, is my
opinion. I know that, but you'll get somebody, it's concerned because somebody ripped one out.
Yeah, okay, very good. Thank you, Mark. That's very good. I don't know. Hey, DeSantis, are you actually screening the calls today? Matt DeSantis, turn your mic on for a second here.
He's wearing his pastel peach today.
Yeah, Matt DeSantis, who's 22 years old, and are you screening the calls today?
Evidently not very well.
All right, so do we have to do a refresher course on how you do this? What do you want to say to Rich? And then flesh it out. And if they start talking about breaking wind and ripping one, that's when you go, okay, well, thank you. We'll see if we can get to you. And you look at me and go, don't take that call. It's very good. You're training someone today, so he's going to learn. Don't do what Matt does. Do the opposite of what DeSantis does, is my point to you. And where's my friggin' megaphone, too?
I have the megaphone. It has batteries. It does work.
I sent him downstairs 2 hours ago, Dawn, to get batteries. For my megaphone, because we got a Bernie Sanders story. I still don't have a friggin' megaphone.
Well, you know, he's the ninth floor is where
she's
all
gonna
the
defend him now.
It's where all the nice young ladies are on the ninth floor.
Is that it?
So, you know, he had to visit, socialize. They all want to talk to him.
They're like, oh, we love your pastel peach hoodie.
Oh, look, Matt DeSantis.
Oh, is he still a virgin? Yeah, we could be the ones to taint him. All right, give me my megaphone, for God's sake. Thank you.
We're back with the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. This show is a safe space for you. All right, so a number of other issues in the news today, which I will get through throughout the afternoon, including whether or not there is going to be a discussion in Washington, D.C. over giving everybody a guaranteed job. It is something that Bernie Sanders has rolled out today, a guaranteed job and benefits. It's really happening, kids. It's socialism and it's cool. It's really cool. So that is coming up a little bit later in the show as well. Gene is in Mount Holly. Gene, how are you today?
Okay. I think for Masculinity Monday, they ought to also make you take a course, especially for the boys, to learn knifeless cooking because they can't be trusted with knives, don't you know?
I agree. And also,
too much testosterone.
I couldn't agree with you more, Gene. And in London, they're literally banned. So you can't cook with knives, I don't think.
There you go.
So I'm with you 100%. You got to learn how to tear chicken with your bare hands.
Yes. And by the way,
yes.
Regarding Domino's,
yeah.
I don't know what's worse, Little Caesars or Domino's.
Hmm.
You could have a contest, trust me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know the answer to you for that point, but do you like Pizza Hut?
Oh, I only like their pan fried and that's it. The rest of the stuff is crap.
Yeah, okay. All right, you got very passionate. I like that. That's good. Fired up. I love it.
Well, I don't understand. We have three fabulous pizza places where we live.
Yeah.
I mean, fabulous.
Listen,
and
I worked at
Domino's right in the middle, in between the three, and I'm like, why? Why would you go there when you got three fabulous pizza places?
Thank you. Thank you, Gene.
Okay.
I agree with you 100%. I worked at a pizzeria in high school. I worked at a pizzeria in college. And you should always support the mom-and-pop pizzerias, especially
Absolutely.
Here. We live in this area. We have exposure to some of the best pizza in the world here. All right, my dear. I love you.
Okay.
Great call today.
Bye-bye.
Fantastic. Well done. Very, very good. Now, the truth of the matter is that I understand if you are stranded in the middle of Missouri and you got to eat chain pizza, I get it. I'm not going to judge you. I've been there. Worked in politics. Had to travel the country on campaigns. And believe me, it's not easy. But you don't have that problem here, right? You don't have that problem. You can go to College Hill Bakery tonight. Or if you're going to be in Jersey, South Jersey and Turnersville, there's all kinds of little mom-and-pop pizza shops you can hit. I'll tell you something else, too. If you want a little secret, you can even make your own. But you gotta have a guy. And I know how to do it, but I can't share all my secrets with you that easily. Bill is in Lansdowne. Bill, how are you?
All right. How are you doing today, Rich?
Good.
The problem with this masculinity seminar that the left has prepared, it was prepared by a bunch of lefty eunuchs, and my own personal philosophy has always been, if you don't play the game, you can't make the rules.
Right.
I don't know what it is where, you know, they keep just piling on and piling on. You know, Dawn had mentioned about these kind of programs provide a safe space or the opportunity for men to discuss what does your masculinity mean to you? For starters, it means you don't sit around talking about what your masculinity means. It's just absurd, the programs they come up with.
Well, you know why you talk about it, right? You talk about it so it can be redefined to you, so that you can talk about it to confess, basically. You're confessing about what your masculinity problem is. You're confessing, and then there they redefine it for you.
I think they should probably put a bare light bulb in front of everybody, have them staring at it then, you know, in that kind of seminar. You know, this whole thing reminds me, I don't know if you ever saw that old Sam Kinison skit where he wants to go out with his buddies, and he says, honey, all the guys are going out. Can I take my penis with me? And she says, no. And he says, oh, come on, honey. All the other guys are taking theirs. And she says, I'll take that.
But your wife's allowed to take your penis for the night, but the state is not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
I fully understand. I have to check mine in. I get that. But when the college takes it, Bill, that's a whole different, and not even Kinison could have imagined that.
Well,
every woman listening right now goes, I take my husband's penis. It's in a lockbox. But when the college does it or the state does it, Bill, we have a critical societal problem, my friend.
Maybe we shouldn't let them watch any more Kinison.
Well, I definitely would. They would never allow Sam Kinison on a college campus in this day and age in a million years. In a million years.
It's a damn shame because that's the part of grown up.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. They just protested at some college, Jenna Fisher from The Office, who's a lefty in good standing, but they protested her anyway because they didn't feel safe or something, so they had to have a protest because it's all about feeling safe, you understand. You got to feel safe. This is why I went out to Berkeley and went out there to make a stand for free speech, because these colleges are shutting down free speech all the time. And it is about re-education camp in many of these priorities. It's a repulsive thing that we're watching happening here in society. But it's all under the guise of keeping everybody safe. And then you prime people so that one day in the future, when a guy like Bernie Sanders comes out and that future is right here, right now, and wants to give everybody a job, you have been so conditioned throughout your life that somebody else should be protecting you, providing for you, telling you who you are, that you become primed to accept that this is how things should go. Understand, you know, we make jokes because they're funny and that's what we do, but socialism doesn't exist just from a purely economic place. Socialism also has to exist from a philosophical place in order for it to thrive, meaning that you have to willingly concede liberty in order for it to work. And how do you get people in a nation like ours to willingly cede their liberty? Think about that. The entire concept of this nation from the founding of this country in 1935, I'm bad at history, was all about liberty, right? So the founders would sit around in Philadelphia and Thomas Jefferson, and they'd have their Gadsden flags and don't tread on me. And it was all about your liberty. The entire course of American history was about liberty. Until recently, where now we're ceding our liberty voluntarily, a little bit here, a little bit there. Oh, no, we'll allow the federal government to tell businesses they need to put things on menus. Could you imagine what Thomas Jefferson would have said if the founders sat around in Philadelphia in the 1780s and said that they're going to tell City Tavern to publish calorie counts on their menus? Now, granted, they may not have understood what that concept was back then, but or that they had to put warnings about the food on their menus. You know, one of the founders had indigestion or something, or so they need to put warnings on this. And we've gone so far. And this is how you prime people for socialism. You accept the economic philosophy of this because you are willing to cede your liberty in exchange for, as Rousseau wrote, the social contract, for somebody to protect you. You ever read The Social Contract, Rousseau's writings? It's scary stuff, kids, but it's exactly what's happening. It is. All right, look, I want to be safe and I don't want to be fat and I don't want to be unhealthy, and we're all kind of paying for it now anyway, so we'll justify it a little bit. So yeah, put labels on menus, put warnings on salt, put warnings on trans fats, ban this, ban that. It's okay. The FDA banned trans fats in food. And we said, that's fine. It's okay because it's bad for us and we got to be safe. Colleges ban activities and we go, it's okay. We got to be safe. And on it goes, priming us little by little, until one day we have so accepted this as our place that we say, I will cede my liberty for the greater good. That's okay. Not a problem. I'll cede my liberty for the greater good. And then you have a situation where you have the baby in the UK who a court ordered to be taken off life support for the good of the whole, you know, because they're socialized medicine, can't afford to keep the kid on the feeding tube anymore. So the breathing tube. So the kid's, you know, sentenced to die by the state. But that's okay, because you understand it's for the greater good. For the greater good, the state will make those decisions for us. Charlie Gard. Remember that? And we have come to a place now where you've got a mainstream candidate who's talking about providing everybody with a job and everybody with benefits. And you'll see how many people go along with this and say it's actually a really good idea. All right. So we will get some more of that for you a little bit later throughout the afternoon. Dave is in Gloucester. Dave, how are you?
Hey, Rich, I totally agree with you about liberty, but I've got bigger problems, and I need Dr. Zioli to help me out.
Go ahead.
I think my masculinity might be toxic, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm afraid to ask my wife, because if she says, no, it's not toxic, then I might be like a James Comey. If she says, yes, it is toxic, then I have problems on my hand.
It's true.
I checked. I have some hair on my chest. I don't know if I should manscape it now. I was with another guy, and there was a beautiful girl walking down with one of those tops that are off shoulder, and we both ogled her.
Right. Yeah, don't do that.
Toxic or not.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, you know, we're married, but we're not dead. We tapped our beers, took another swig off of our Yingling and another puff of our Macanudo cigar, And then I called you because I think possibly my masculinity is toxic.
All right, listen, I want you to do something for me, Dave, okay? I want you to do something. I want you to look in the mirror, and you look in the mirror, and I want you to say to yourself,
okay,
I am not James Comey.
I am not James Comey.
I will not use words like golly.
I will not use words like golly.
I will not say lordy.
I will not say lordy.
I am not the lesser Cuomo.
I am not the lesser Cuomo.
I am not George Stephanopoulos, where my wife's going to go on national television and make fun of me in front of the entire nation.
I am not Clintonopoulos, who's...
Very good. Very good. All right, Dave, you're cured, okay? Dr. Zioli has cured you.
Appreciate it. I feel much better.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great day.
We're back with the Rich Zioli Show.
Yes, and the big question, of course, facing all of us today is, why do I keep making comments about George Stephanopoulos' wife laughing at him on national television? It's because it happened, and that will be played for you in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, California, they may be exiting the union, which would be great. The Cal exit signatures are underway. Fine, go and take your crappy Pinot Noir with you. Although Oregon may follow, it's sadly to say, they kind of do what California does. But nevertheless, we will have that conversation at the 5 o'clock hour as well, and a major private property rights case that's facing Pennsylvania. You know, I talk about all these issues, and I sometimes hope to connect the dots, because that's always my goal here, is to connect the dots with all these little things. I don't think these things are one-offs, you know. It's not a one-off that colleges are getting so protectionist. It's not a one-off that the federal government is now in every aspect of our life, including menu labeling and everything. These things happen over time, and liberty vanishes over time, too. So when Bernie Sanders comes out today and he says he wants to guarantee everybody a job, which is literally socialism, and it's not greeted with this guy's a nut. Bernie is, I mean, he's mainstream now. Think about that for a second. Bernie Sanders is mainstream. He's a guy who ran for president as a Democrat, came close to winning the nomination. And his proposal is going to be something that people actually discuss. It's not going to be laughed at as a fringe lunatic. This is not 20 years ago. This is a guy whose proposal they're going to say, well, you know, there's some things here that have merit. And that's what I mean, and where we've come, where had Bernie Sanders proposed something like this even 10 years ago, I think people would have just completely just dismissed it. But now it's a build up to a big thing, and we're not going to like it. You won't. I won't. But what are the average students on college campuses going to think about it is my question. I think this calls for a little man on the street. Perhaps I will go and interview some college students. I haven't done that in a while. Maybe I will do that. I think this also calls for the return of, let's see how this thing works. No, I did it the wrong way. Hang on. Let's try this, right?
Is this thing on? Is this thing on? Can you people hear me, you snowflakes?
Is that work?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
It works.
If I do this now.
Everybody's going to get a J-O-B if you want to be with me.
That's his new song. Right, so perhaps we'll have the return of Megaphone Bernie at some point. I think that it's a good time to do it now because the college kids are... I think they're going to be loving this plan, is my opinion. I could be wrong here on this point, but I think they're going to be loving it. And they're not going to think it's crazy one bit. Not one bit. All right. That conversation is in the 5 o'clock hour as well.
Rizzioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.